Okay. Shalom, shalom, and welcome. Welcome. It is Wednesday, September 27th. Smack in the middle of Seres Mechuva. And we're actually recording a day early. Usually Thursday is recording day, I think. Or sometimes Wednesday, actually. But a day early, I wanted to have this podcast all set for the big day tomorrow, September 28th. Anybody? September 28th? Do we know what day that is? That is David's birthday. Happy birthday. So the time he gets up, actually right now we should be sleeping. It's about, I think, 5 in the morning. Actually, maybe up. Shlichus. But birthday, David turning 34, and special guy. Everyone knows David. Most people know him. He's actually one of the main reasons why our families are in Israel. He was a big impetus into that move. And everyone knows David is always there to help people out. He's always life at a party. And middle of a lot of different tzedakah programs. Raising money for the hospital with the bicycle trek. Talk about that another time. He's huge with Achenu. So, big happy birthday to David. Big happy birthday not because I think he's building my sukkah, but just a big happy birthday for the big guy. And the gift is coming next week. Let you know. David recommended that I do the next podcast holding a beer, drinking beer. I guess my voice is a little bit too monotone, perhaps. But unfortunately, I do not have a beer with me. I was going to get a can, maybe down it before the podcast, but I decided to do this a day early. Ended work a little late, went to my Hebrew tutor, and I turned around, it's 10 o'clock, and heck with it. All right. Before we get on to the program, let's first say Tehillim. I did not hear any updates from Tinuk Ben Anat. So let's have another Tehillim. And have in mind Tinuk Ben Anat or any Cholim. Shermalos Esainai El Harim Me'ayin Yivo Ezri. Ezri Mi'im Adonai Osei Shemai Varetz. I Tein Ramot Raglecha Ainum Shemrecha. Hilei Leinum Vleishon Shemai Yisrael. Adonai Shemrecha. Adonai Tzucha. Ayad Minecha. Yom Shem Shalakeka Verech Balela. Adonai Yishmerecha Mikoro Yishmer Es Nafshecha. Adonai Yishmer Tzeis Chavyecha Me'ata V'yad Olam. Okay. Trying to keep topical to what's going on. Actually, a couple weeks late on the Muncie chicken business. I thought I'd give it a few weeks. It's about 2 weeks old since this scandal broke. I thought I'd give it a little time to, let things settle down a bit before we try to tackle and speak to people from Muncie. Those who do not know, long story short, again, I don't know all the details, but primarily a supposedly, quote-unquote, from Jew, who was a Bal Korah, who was a Chazan, very well trusted, mixed and sold kosher chickens with non-kosher chickens. And not exactly sure how many months, years this has been going on, but apparently he has been selling chickens, non-kosher chickens, to large catering halls, to summer camps. I just heard this afternoon, to summer camps in the Bull colonies, summer camps in the country, and his main display was at Hatzlacha supermarket in Muncie or Silver Spring. So I did a little bit of homework to see what's going on there, and apparently this has actually died down a bit. The Rabbanim in Muncie, thank God, decided to put this thing to rest. I'll tell you about what they did exactly, but the huge problem, I mean, besides the obvious, people eating non-kosher, huge problem is the mashgiach, Rabbi Breslover, who was very well-respected and trusted. And people apparently are spreading rumors about him, people losing trust in him. And the person I spoke to, I'm not sure if he wanted me to mention his name or not, but, well, it's okay. I'm not going to. At least, not now. Mentioned that this person is a big Talmid Chacham. He's very well respected. He also had Mashgichim going in and out, checking the chickens, making sure things were done right. How the person in charge of Shevach, how the person fooled him and the Mashgichim, they're not too sure, but the Lashon Hara that's going around is really damaging to the Mashgiach. Another interesting point that I picked up is the fact that the Shevach person was apparently going bankrupt. So, I'm not sure exactly the details. I'm not sure if this person was very wealthy or what the situation was, but the business itself was going bankrupt. And apparently, another few weeks, he would have been out of business. So, if they would have caught on, there's a very good chance this never would have come out. The person I spoke to mentioned that there is also some controversy as far as the fast. The Rabbanim in Muncie made a takana that there should be a public fast a week ago Sunday, and some people did, some people did not. The consensus is they did nothing wrong, and according to Rabbi Rudinsky, very interesting point to keep in mind, is the people are not fasting, or the people that should have fasted, or some people felt that they should fast, they're not fasting because they did anything wrong or did not vera. So, they did not, everyone was conscientious, the people did go to a quote-unquote reliable place to buy chickens, it did have the proper hashgacha. The reason why people are fasting, or they should fast, perhaps, is because something they've done wrong, community-wise, is causing, or had this terrible thing happen to them due to some of their following of mitzvot, lack of Torah, whatever the case may be, has nothing to do with eating, you know, there wasn't the eating of the chicken, per se, but it was the fact that, something has gone awry that would allow Hashem and this incident to happen in the community. So it's an interesting point over there. The question is whether there's an actual Avera. Another interesting anecdote, on a sad note, one of the sadder things I've heard about this, is that there's stories of Holocaust survivors that went through the entire Holocaust concentration camps without eating treif meat or anything treif, where they've gone through with whether it was bread, whether it was potatoes, whatever the case may be, some people that they were so mesiras nefesh, they so gave away, you know, the strength, you know, they refused to have any meat to keep them going in the concentration camps. Well, these people, unfortunately, went through concentration camps without eating treif, but they couldn't go through, you know, the later years of their lives through Muncie, because they actually had chicken. So that's actually a pretty sad story that I just heard today. Okay. But, as I've heard from two sources, things are starting to die down a bit. The Rabbanim did tell people not to talk about it. Lashon Hara was affecting many people. So that's good to know. Okay. Not too bad. Now, we're going to take a quick break with a song from the Shiva Boys Choir. My brother, again, David, the birthday boy, gave me some of his comments last week in Israel, that I introduced the Shiva Boys Choir and played a song that, while was under the name Shiva Boys Choir, featured the choir leader. So I apologize, folks. Now we'll have the Shiva Boys Choir featuring the Shiva Boys Choir.
Koil Hashem al hamoyim keila kovoyim Hashem amayim, Hashem amayim al mayim rabim. Koil Hashem al hamoyim keila kovoyim Hashem amayim, Hashem amayim al mayim rabim.
Okay. Whoa. There's just so much I could take of that song. I mean, David, that one's for you. Happy birthday. Okay, enough of that. Let's talk about the history portion of this fancy podcast. We're going to step back. We were kind of rolling right along with the Zugim, with the pears. Last week we spoke about Yossi Ben Yoezer. And we spoke about Yossi Ben Yochanan. So, we're second base of Migdash, but now we're going to take a step back to the end of the first base of Migdash, actually. Why? Well, this week was Tzom Gedaliah. And many of us, maybe, I don't know, I'm going to say most of the people listening do not have an idea, the entire idea, of why we were fasting. Some of you maybe were fasting to starve off the honey cake, for 2 days of honey cake, all the meals, stuff like that. Perhaps. Well, I don't think so. Well, let's talk about Tzom Gedaliah. So we're going to go take a step back and discuss why an event that happened in 586 BC for the Common Era, why is so important this event that happened 2,600 years ago? Well, he was killed. Jewish person killed him. Rebellion. What's so important about that? Unfortunately, there's, you know, killings. Let's talk about the circumstances. There were several rebellions against Babel. Babel was the leading empire, and they had control over Israel. And there were several rebellions against the wishes of Yirmiyahu, who was the Navi, the prophet of the time. And the Babylonians decided, well, you know, we're getting pretty sick and tired of the Jews rebelling against us. Well, that does it. After the Churban, they exiled most of the Jewish people. They left some, though, in the hands of Gedaliah ben Achikam. So, Gedaliah was appointed the governor. Okay, doesn't sound too bad. We have a governor of New York. We have a straight governor of New Jersey now, which is interesting. Insert joke here. So what's the big deal about having a governor? Well, first, he was appointed by the Babylonians. He was not appointed by the Jews. The Jews did not vote. They didn't elect him. Yirmiyahu didn't decide that he was the one. He was a vassal. He was just appointed by a opposing king. 1. 2. His seat, or his government, the capital, was Mitzpeh, which is north of Yerushalayim, north of Jerusalem. So, which would have meant that his capital is going to be outside of Jerusalem, outside the capital. And most important, he was not a descendant, Ben-Achaben, non-descendant, of King David. And we know that the southern kingdom, from King David on, always had a relative, descendant, if you will, of the dynasty of David, King David. And Gedaliah ben Achikam was not. Now, after he was appointed, Yishmael ben Netanya, who was a descendant of David, not to say that he would have been the king or should have been the king, but he was disappointed, very upset, angry, that a non-descendant, a czar, a non-descendant of David, was appointed. Now, it's interesting to note that the Babylonians did pick Gedaliah. One of the reasons was because he was not a descendant. They did not want to give the Jews the false hope that they were going to have a normal life, that they should be comfortable with having their own king. And it should be in the back of their minds that, yes, we are ruling Israel, we're the ruling powers, and we are going to choose a governor who is not, you know, worthy or not supposed to be the governor. He was not. Interesting also to note that it was Yirmiyahu who did give approval for this appointment. So Yirmiyahu deemed that it was proper for Gedaliah to be the governor. Why did Yishmael ben Netanya do this? Well, he had in his mind that to preserve the honor of Israel, to preserve the honor of the legacy of David, and to preserve the honor of Hashem, of God, he was in the right when he decided to kill Gedaliah and kill several soldiers, Babylonian soldiers. In his mind, he was going to preserve the honor. So he didn't do this for himself. In his mind, he thought he really had intentions, proper intentions, to do the right thing. He was doing the right thing. What we have to keep in mind, though, is even though in his mind it was okay that this Gedaliah should be killed, Yirmiyahu gave his approval. And Yirmiyahu, being the prophet, the Navi, it was from Hashem, Min HaShemayim, that Gedaliah was, in fact, the proper person to be the governor. The Rambam makes a comment that this period, from 586 BC until 539, when the Jews came back, about 50 years later, when they came back, when Cyrus let the Jews go back, those who wanted to go back can go back, he let other nations go back to their homelands, he let the Jewish people start on the bias, which actually got stopped, but for about 50 years, there were no Jews in Israel. This is significant because we see that only a small percentage of Jewish people came back with Ezra and Zerubbabel. Only a few Jews came back, about 5% of the Jews came back, 40,000. And when they came back, it was deserted. There was no strong base that was left there from the first bias. What's significant about that? That we see that there was never a strong presence in Israel, in Eretz Yisrael, because of this. If there would have been a presence of Jews throughout the exile, there would have been some Jews, at least maybe two of the Shvatim or one Shevet, then Jews would have come back, it would have been a stronger foundation. But because of the death or the killing of Gedaliah, and all the Jews were now thrown out for about 50 years, when the Jews did come back eventually, there was no strong foundation. What do we take from this, and why are we fasting? Well, we reject the actions of Yishmael ben Netanya. Obviously, we fast, we don't make a big kiddush, we don't make a big party on the day that Yishmael killed Gedaliah. But we reject Yishmael. He was a zealot, and him, in his eyes, it was all or nothing. It couldn't be from a descendant of David. This man must be killed. So, even though his intentions were good, he did the wrong actions. For us, even though sometimes we think we're doing the right thing, sometimes perhaps we see something that's not correct and we act on it, well, it's a good chance, even though we think we're doing right, we're actually doing the wrong thing. We look at his mistake. What did he do? He took the matter into his own hands. Oh, Gedaliah is not a descendant of David. Psh! Kill him. Well, he should have asked Yirmiyahu. He ignored the words of Hashem, and he ignored the prophet. We should try to remember this. In the 10 days, Seres Mei Tshuva, if we have any question about something that we think is not correct, we just shouldn't take the matter into our own hands. If we see something that someone else does, we're not sure about something, we just shouldn't act. But we should look out for our leaders and look to what they have to say. We should also be supportive of each other and try not to harm each other. That goes without saying. And that is your lesson for this week. Well, that kind of wraps things up. A couple of shout-outs. Yossi, my brother, was going to see Cousin Joel, Dr. Joel. Yes, Joel, I heard your comments. Thank you very much. Sarcastic thank you, by the way. Donnie Lieberman, who's complimentary. Thank you much, Donnie. Appreciate your support. Aliza Zimberg with her fancy new iPod. Adil Levin with his new iPod that he actually had me buy for his wife, with the full intentions, I'm pretty sure, that she was not going to want it and gave it back to him. So that was pretty interesting how you do that. Kind of like the Homer Simpson. He buys her a bowling ball, and of course, she doesn't want it, so he keeps it. So, nice going, Adil. And I think that's it. Have a very good week. Have an easy fast, and Gemach Simtova, Happy New Year. Bye.